Good evening. Good to be here. It's so unbalanced. Is there something holier about this side?
Sheep and goats.
Oh, very good, very good. We are Chris and Lori Gassler. We also have three children who are not here with us. They are here with us at the moment. I thought they were somewhere else. Yep, Noah and Ben. And Kristen is over here sitting next to Lizzie because it's her birthday. And we work in Yaoundé, Cameroon. And we've been there since 2014. We've been with Wycliffe since 2011, and it was a bit of a process to get to the field, so that's why it looks like 5 years we've been missionaries, really been only on the field for 2 years. Also had a year in France of language school and all kinds of things going on like that. So I'm going to try to explain to you what it is that my work is, and I'll also add some of what Lori does in a little bit. But we do ethnodoxology. And I'll get to that $5 word in just a minute. But the who we are, we don't give our ages away anymore, so we'll just tell you when we were married, in 1995. Noah is 14 in 10th grade, Kristen is 13 in 8th grade, and Ben is 10 in the 6th grade. All of them are having their first experience in public school in the United States this year, which is pretty cool, because when we lived in the U.S. before, they were homeschooled and who knows what. So, when I first got into this field and first found out about this, the term ethnomusicology was thrown about. And really, that's the study of music in a sociocultural context. Ethno-sociocultural context, musicology, the study of music. And then we became pretty hip and we thought, well, we can handle all the arts, right? So we took up the term ethno-arts, which is good because we want to be more complete. We want to be able to take in dance. We want to be able to take in visual art, poetry. I don't know that I feel incredibly qualified to do all of that, but we're striving for that, okay? I definitely want to get into some ethnodramatology, getting into the drama, local dramas if we can. But then somebody came up with this term, which is pretty comprehensive of what we're trying to do. Doxology, meaning worship, but within a sociocultural context. So ethnodoxology. Any of those terms that you want to use, ethnomusicology, ethnoarts, ethnodoxology, I'll perk up an answer as if it's my name, but that kind of corners us into what we're doing. And what it means practically is that we are wanting to champion, learn about, appropriate local arts for people to worship God in a way that is very natural to them. We want people to read the Bible in their heart language. That's the mission of Wycliffe Bible Translators, to get scripture into the heart language of people, their first language, their mother tongue, so that they understand it as well as they possibly can. So there's a lot of abstract concepts in scripture. And that goes with ethnodoxology. We can have them answer back to God, worship God with their heart, in the music of their heart. It may sound like craziness to us. It may look like something completely bizarre to us if you're in the visual art realm, look like something completely bizarre if it's dance. But it's something that's natural to that context. And we want to bring that out in worship so that people are worshiping God naturally so that it's personal. Because our God is a personal God, yes? Our context. We're in Cameroon, which the little red bit there, if you can see it clearly, Cameroon is shaped like a chicken. We live in the capital city of Yaoundé, which is in the southern quarter of the country. Cameroon is a relatively stable country. Many of the countries around us are not. So that plays into some of what we do that I'll get to a little bit later. But bordered, of course, by Nigeria, Chad, Central African Republic, Republic of the Congo, Gabon, Equatorial Guinea. The country is divided into 10 regions, 8 of which are using French as the language of wider communication and government. There are 2 regions of the country that are left over from Nigeria. They were a part of Nigeria's holdings until the 1960s. They decided they more appropriately belonged with Cameroon. I don't know the whole story beyond that. But those 2 regions prefer to use English as their form of education and government speak, which is complicated. In fact, all of language issues are complicated in Cameroon because there are 279 living languages within the borders of a country that's about the land area of California. All right, we have arguments in California over 2 languages. Cameroon, we have 279. And then 2 languages of wider communication, English and French. And those even cause bitterness, which blows my mind. Because sometimes Cameroonians will say, oh, he's a Francophone, he's no good. I'm like, why are you arguing over language that wasn't naturally here anyway? It was brought here by the French and the English, and you're going to argue about that and let that be divisive. I don't understand it. Anyway, about 22 million people are in Cameroon, and that number is growing maybe more rapidly than you would expect because there are refugees coming in from Central African Republic and from Nigeria because of war, strife, terrorism, and those kind of things. So that's the context. What does the work look like? Oh, I forgot to start my watch. Sorry, Mo, you just lost 5 minutes. Just kidding. What does our work look like? Well, a couple of ways we put the rubber to the road I'm going to present to you. And the first is through songwriting workshop. Songwriting workshops are something that we do to, I'll admit that I'm a little subversive with these because I've told colleagues that songwriting workshops, yeah, do music, but I'm going to give them the gospel. I or my colleagues, sometimes I collaborate with pastors, church use personnel from our organization, whomever. We're going to hit them with the gospel. We're going to present gospel. We're going to talk about scripture, and we're going to do some music. But it's a songwriting workshop. What we do in these workshops is try to cover several things. First of all, the biblical basis for worship. We're going to spend a lot of time in the Psalms. We're also going to get to the biblical basis for creativity. I just gave it away because I didn't phrase this right. But what's the first verb in the Bible? It's a past participle. Created. In the beginning, God created. Ergo, if we are created in God's image, to create is to be in the image of God, to bring glory to God. So to be creative, to make something, build a bridge, kick a goal in soccer, work out a quadratic equation, right, Noah? Those bring glory to God, you know. My son doesn't like the algebra homework always. Anyway, that's part of the biblical basis for worship, is bringing out the biblical basis for creativity, why we do what we do. When God gives us a gift, to use that gift, to make use of it, is to bring glory to Him. We also try to talk about redemption. This is something that I said in there because it's very important to me, and it really puts a lot of what we're doing with ethno-arts in a nutshell, to redeem things. If we have song forms, instruments, dances, and such that have been used for various purposes, maybe something that was associated with ancestor worship, or this particular drum was used in some incantation of some foreign god that we don't know, is it appropriate to eventually use to worship God? And I say yes, because my life was used once to do an incantation to a foreign god. My life was against God, but my life was redeemed, okay, by the blood of Christ. What happened at the cross, it was redeemed. So there's no reason that a piece of wood that has no soul, an instrument, can't have its use directed toward worshiping God. So I can use that as an illustration to show them that their life can be transformed by what happened at the cross. Those song forms can be redeemed. It's not always an easy concept. It's not one that always takes. Redemption is fairly advanced. You know, it's Christianity 102. It's not necessarily 101. Sometimes they need to put song forms or instruments or dances away for a generation. And that's okay. But it puts it out there. It gets them thinking about what was my life. Where's the turning point? Is there a transformation in my life at all? A lot of people are Christian in name only in our country. We have a lot of folks in denominations that are marginal. Cameroon on the surface looks like a very Christian nation. Many of the backs of taxis say, merci à Dieu, thanks to God. Glory to God. They'll have the Psalm 23, painted on the back of the taxi. But the Christian life is not necessarily lived out. It's marginal Christianity in most cases. So for them to think about this idea of transformation is very important for people to advance beyond marginal expression of faith. We also like to assess kingdom needs, teach them to assess kingdom needs. And we'll walk through with a group in a workshop and ask them, what are the problems in your community? What do you need to fix? What can we address in a song? And people will often say, oh, there's too much alcoholism in our community. Marriages aren't staying together in our churches. Our children aren't, behaving correctly. And then I'll say, okay, your next step is we're going to find passages in Scripture that address those things. Okay? How teach them to apply Scripture. I'm not really teaching them as much as I'm just asking them to do it. They teach themselves to apply Scripture. And then take that and put it into a song. Maybe there's a song form that's appropriate. We'll teach them to make connections between song forms and certain biblical passages. As an example, if a particular society has harvest songs, well, I am the Lord of the harvest. Maybe we can talk through what that verse means. And if you join that with a harvest song, it makes the picture much more clearer. Much more clearer? That was bad. Bad grammar. Guy that works with linguists. Makes the picture more clear. So that's looking at kingdom needs. I had a great moment about a year and a half ago doing a songwriting workshop, and I was talking about kingdom needs, and it was clearly the Holy Spirit because wisdom came out of my mouth. But some guy said, our kingdom need in our village, we don't have clean water. And I think I've been through their village, and it's surrounded by a swamp, and they're right, they don't have clean water. And I didn't know what to say. Because we're talking about alcoholism. I can find all kinds of verses that tell you don't know, get drunk and whatnot. Well, I can't make water clean with a song or a Bible verse even. So it just hit me. It was the Holy Spirit clearly that said, make your water clean. You can't write a song to make clean water. But I'll bet you if you did write a song using the verses I am living water and those that surround it and what that means, if you wrote a song about that, I'll bet you in your community that song is going to have a lot more impact than in mine. Because in my community, people can walk to any tap, drink out of it, and not worry about it. Living water, what's that to us? But to them, living water, that's a big deal. So teaching them to look at their kingdom needs, they can come up with artistic creations that are going to speak to their people. This is a little video that I put together of some songwriting workshops I did a little over a year ago.